Hey everybody, this is Sean Early. Welcome to the ARVR Magazine podcast. Today, I'm talking to Olga Kravchenko from a company called Musimio. They're the developers behind an app called Sunflower AR, which showcases the horrors of the Ukrainian war. The app is really beautifully designed. It has a really powerful message behind it, and I'm really excited to talk to Olga about it. So I'll see you in the episode. If your kids are anything like my kids, then you've got a couple of VR gaming, TikTok surfing, digital native couch potatoes. On top of that, getting them to eat anything other than chicken nuggets and noodles are a huge challenge. My wife and I, we try really hard to get them to eat healthy, but sometimes it's just really challenging, especially like getting ready for work and school in the morning and you just need something fast. So to remedy this, we started making our kids smoothies in the morning. Now we struggled a bit to try to find like the right recipe that they'd actually drink, but after like lots of trial and error, we finally stumbled on a recipe that's been working really well. There's this company called Life Plus, and they have this powdered mix called Daily Bio Basics. It's basically like they took all the organic fruits and vegetables and produce section of the grocery store, and they like reduced it down to a super potent powdered mix. So it's full of essential vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, fiber, phytonutrients. It's vegetarian and it's gluten-free. And every morning when my kids get up, I basically just throw a scoop of these Daily Bio Basics mix into a blender. And I throw in a banana and like a spoonful of non-sweetened cocoa powder and a couple cups of plant milk. And then I mix it up and serve it to them in a straw and they just slurp it down. And they're even getting cheeky the other day with their mom trying to rat me out at the dinner table by saying, "You know what, Mom? Dad makes us chocolate shakes for breakfast. Ha ha." So my wife and I have been drinking this too, along with some other Life Plus products mixed in, and we feel great. And it's just one less thing to stress us out during the day, knowing our kids are having some kind of basic nutrition for breakfast. So if you're interested in trying out Life Plus Daily Bio Basics for yourself, then just go to arvrmagazine.com/lifeplus and search for Daily Bio Basics. You can also reach out to me directly and I can tell you all about it. So once again, that was arvrmagazine.com/lifeplus and search for Daily Bio Basics. So with that, let's get on to the show. Welcome to the ARVR Magazine podcast, your source for news, trends, and analysis of the AR, VR, and immersive technology industry. This podcast has been brought to you by the Robot Spaceship Podcast Network. For more info and other great podcast series, go to robotspaceship.com and subscribe. And now your host, Sean Early. Hey everybody, this is Sean Early. Welcome to the ARVR Magazine podcast. And today I have a special guest, Olga Kravchenko from Musimio. She's going to be talking about the Sunflower AR app, which is it's Sunflower, which is Sunflower AR. So it's an augmented reality app, which is basically showcases the horrors of the Ukraine war through the eyes of a schoolgirl, Sonyashnik, which actually means sunflower in Ukraine. And so yeah, Olga, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Sean. Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, so let's just jump right into it. Let's talk about the app. Why don't you give a brief overview of the app and kind of how it came to be?
Yeah, absolutely. So Sunflower AR is a way to cut through the news fatigue that people have been experiencing as we were approaching the 6 months mark since the war started. I'm Ukrainian and most of my team is still located in Ukraine. So for us, it was very important to make sure the world can see the elements of the horror we are experiencing on an everyday basis. But I guess when I started realizing that the news or the updates on what's happening on the ground is no longer enough because it's too scary, it's too hard to digest. Together with a team, we thought maybe we can use our skills in immersive storytelling and create something that would bring a glimpse of the war into everyone's living room. And that's how Sunflower AR came around.
Well, I have to say it's a really beautiful app, and it's like web AR, so it just works in the browser, so you don't have to download an application or anything. You just click the link and you just go right to the browser and view it. So it's really easy to use. So I really appreciate that sort of usability. But yeah, I mean, it's a really beautiful app. It's really emotional and it's just kind of a pleasure to watch. Maybe just kind of go into some of the background of the process and, you know, some of your thinking, like where did it start and how did it come to be? Did it come through iterations or how did the final product come to be?
Yeah, it definitely had a number of iterations, to be honest, because we started thinking about building Sunflower AR in around April time. And just for the context, the company that I'm running is called Museumia, and we are usually creating mobile VR for children to engage with arts and culture. So obviously creating a VR experience about war was not necessarily our expertise to start right. with, but also it wasn't designed for our core audiences. It was designed for the adults to maybe connect with what is happening in Ukraine in a different way. And initially, we never thought about doing VR because it involves a headset, and we knew that if we wanted to reach as many people as possible with an immersive experience, we will need just to go with AR. We initially considered building an app, but very quickly we realized that the friction of people downloading the app for a singular 4.5 or 5 minute experience is a little bit too much to ask. So we decided to go with WebAR, and it's been a very challenging process, to be honest, because we started using the traditional WebGL tools, and because of the amount of assets and the way we build the experience to actually turn your entire living room into a sunflower field with special effects and with shaders being used to reflect the changes in the sky, WebGL just couldn't really handle it for us. So we looked around for different platforms, and we were very, very happy when we came across Zappa, and Zappa was absolutely amazing solution for us to use. They helped us a lot with the actual technical development, providing the platform for us and supporting our mission and vision with this project. It was truly incredible to see this kind of support kind of coming from within the community. We also had a number of script iterations. So the initial script that I've written was then edited by one of fantastic immersive storytellers, Rob Morgan. And the very first version I had, I think, had a lot of anger, and that wasn't something that made the final cut that I'm very happy about now, kind of looking back. Because, yeah, I think that some of the emotions that collectively my team and I and my nation have been experiencing throughout this time were a little bit too much to show in WebAR.
Right.
So we opted out for trying to find a different tone, for trying to make the user relate more to Sonyashnek rather than to the idea of the war, because it's really hard to do that in any way, but especially after 6 months of scary news.
It's a beautiful app. It's illustrated too. Normally when people say AR apps, I kind of expect sort of 3D characters dancing around, and I was pleasantly surprised by just, you know, the illustrated look and just how beautiful it is. It's very artistically done. And, you know, I think it just instills an emotion right away when you watch it, which I think obviously was the goal. What's your feedback on it so far? How long has it been launched now?
It's been launched for a little bit over 2 weeks.
Right.
I think we're approaching 3 week mark right now. What's great to see that, there were a pretty big number of people actually viewing it. We received incredible response both through social media and through some of the media outlets that published us. Some people were reaching out and actually asking if they could do more within their local communities, which was a very unexpected response. I mean, it's not something you can plan, because at the end of the experience, after hearing Sonyashnik's story, you're being redirected to United 24. It's our President Zelensky's fund, and this is the main kind of charity collection point in Ukraine right now. They're doing an incredible job as a fund, and for us, it was just a preferred avenue, so it wasn't necessarily an official partnership with them. And people have been touched by what they've seen. What's, I guess, interesting, you mentioned a little bit about the character. We, as a team, we were initially thinking about creating a full-on 3D model and creating a mock-up capture of a little child actually moving and adding some morphs to the face so we can also make the face move in a realistic fashion. But then we saw that perhaps creating a 2D animation was a bit more powerful, and the only thing we actually needed was a model.
Right.
And it happened that my little sister, she's 10, so she's the same age of Sonyashnik, she agreed to be our little model that we could then draw of her postures and of her movements and of her kind of really authentic facial expressions in the app. So I think that what probably makes it quite powerful, because it's not a cartoon character, it is actually drawn from a real person reading the script and living the script as a 10-year-old.
Right. I was going to ask more about that. I mean, the main character, is it sort of more of a collection of general experiences, or is it actually based on any particular real situation?
It is a collection of general experiences. To this date, we are still unfortunately counting the amount of deaths of innocent children, and some of them are making it to the headlines, some of them are not. There are many, many children that we will never know about as well, what's particularly sad. But I think what's very common is the sense that the child, before actually having anything in life, apart from their home, is losing the most important assets they have. Their homes, their sense of security, their schools, their friends. And it's not just the potential of being hit by a missile. It's also the fact that millions of children have been displaced and continue to be displaced either internally in Ukraine or outside of the country. We've spoken to a number of Ukrainian kids who fled for their lives together with their families. We've heard many stories about children who didn't manage to escape. And I think what was very powerful for me at the beginning of this journey was actually a testimony of my friend's sister, who's 5, and literally every new sentence or every second sentence she says starts with "when the war is over." And I think it's really scary to think that a 5-year-old is not actually enjoying the present moment. She understands psychologically that it is very hard.
Right.
So she is the one who did actually make a comment in real life about "when the war ends, Mama will buy me a rabbit."
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a beautiful combination of naivety and the sense of loss that every child that is now the war child is experiencing.
Yeah, it's I could go along a lot of directions with the questions, obviously. Just personal experience here. I mean, I'm in Germany, so we're not too far away from Ukraine. So we do have lots of exposure to some of the people who are fleeing there. I just donated a bike to a child, I don't know, last month or so. So it hits home. And so it's really, I keep going back to the emotional experience of the app. It really feels like it really touches what needs to be said in a very sort of graceful way. It gets the message out, and I think you guys did a really great job with it, you know, tastefully done. There's so many ways you could go with an app like this, you know, and I think you really, really did it well. And I really encourage everybody to check it out. Maybe kind of go a little bit into some of your background. Tell me just a little bit about Muzimio. You know, is there going to be sort of continued maybe Ukraine themes in some of the work that you do?
Absolutely. I think by default there will be, as long as we feel we can continue supporting our country in different creative ways, we will. We've created the entire assets of visual campaigns. I have very, very talented people on board who kind of channeled all their anger in creativity. And what we are now thinking about, and again, reflecting on the feedback, that perhaps we're going to have a shorter taster version as well of the app, launching somewhere later in the either this year or early next year. Because when we're looking at the humanitarian aid flowing into the country and the amount of donations are decreasing, so we know that it will just be getting worse, and hopefully a shorter version will be able to make people stay within the app and act much quicker, because it's still a 5-minute full-on experience. We know it hits home when the person already stands in solidarity with Ukraine, I guess. That's probably the best way to put it. Or the person who's been actively observing what's been happening in the last half a year now, over the last half a year. But there is also a big pool of audiences who still think that it's a very foreign concept, that it's a very faraway country. And I think that us creating slightly shorter experience specifically for this audience might be an interesting way to continue our kind of side legacy of Musenia. And in terms of my background, as a company's background, I am an immersive storyteller, and I've been working in virtual reality for the last 5-6 years. I previously ran an AI VR company as a co-founder, and then I moved on to run Musenia. And I think what always really captured my imagination is the fact that immersive makes your brain understand the world in a slightly different way, and exactly. Your engagement just rises times and times more than if you were just consuming any sort of 2D media. And I thought it's incredible that this powerful medium exists, that it's developing at a super high speed. I mean, every single day there is something new happening within the industry. And if it can be utilized to be used for education and to achieve the maximum impact on young minds, then we could truly create something incredible. So that's pretty much why I started Musenia, with an idea of making arts and culture accessible to every child. But I think now it's getting a little bit bigger, and it's about enabling every child to see the world in a way they understand it. And that's kind of the legacy that we're building on. We did consider building, because of the nature of the company, we are educators by default, and we've been working in a number of schools and with thousands of kids. We considered releasing some kind of resource for parents early on, how to talk to your kids about what's happening in Ukraine. However, we did decide not to go this route. I think it was still too close to home.
Right.
Because I was in the middle of trying to evacuate my family. I was in the middle of trying to make sure my team is safe. And they were in the middle of trying to sort out how their lives are going to play out in the next couple of months. So when there was an opportunity that in March, I think I made the right decision not to go this way. We've also considered putting together some courses for Ukrainian kids who are not necessarily speaking any other languages. But again, it's not what we do best. We tell stories in the best way.
Right.
And that's why Sunflower, I guess, was the most powerful thing we could do as a company, to say what we think about the world, and to hopefully help Ukraine in a way that is not scary for other people to view. Hmm.
Yeah, I kind of got that. I mean, it gets pretty emotional at the end of the experience, but I think it was done really tastefully. I personally would have welcomed even more scary, because I think people need to maybe understand a little bit as well. But I understand the direction that you took. I'm just thinking in the back of my brain, you know, I mean, I've worked on other projects, and there was teams in Ukraine, you know, before the war happened. And so I'm trying to, it keeps clicking in my head that you guys built this app in the middle of a war, you know, you had people that were still there. So that's pretty crazy that you were able to just sort of achieve that with all the stress and everything that was happening at the time.
Yeah, the guys in Ukraine are absolute heroes. My CTO, my VR developer, and everyone else. And again, they're spread out around the country. And that's one of the, well, I guess now, because they're just used to this way of work. I tell people about that, but I think back in 2021, that wouldn't be something that I would even imagine I would be saying. But our calls, our team calls, and trying to make sure the app works, trying to confirm the designs, constantly interrupted by silence, constantly.
Right, I can imagine.
And then as part of it, and I think it was a part of the inspiration for the entire sound piece, I was just like, well, our calls are interrupted by the sirens. Everyone's lives are interrupted with the sirens. And that's something that people don't actually hear. And that's a very, very disturbing sound. Like, let's put it in the game.
Right.
And make people actually switch it off. But then realize that, obviously, that can't really happen. The new reality we had to come to come to terms with. But guys have been doing amazing job. After the first, I guess, 2 weeks, we were back working full time on track, and we're planning to grow. We will be hiring probably some new people in Ukraine as well, but also around Europe, because we have more exciting project educating people around the world. So,
well, yeah. I like I said, it's a beautiful app. It really gets the message across. I encourage everybody to definitely check it out. I'll post the link in the show notes of the podcast. I think you can, where is there an easy way for them to find? Is it like a short link or something if somebody wants to download the app?
Yes, absolutely. So there is the links are available on our website. That is basically www.sunflowar.com. And you can access the links and more information about the experience itself, but also there will be a direct link to the experience. So as long as you follow it, you will most definitely enter the world of Sonja Schneck, who is our little narrator who's telling you the story.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us, and I just commend you on the strength and bravery of the whole team that's been working on this, and your mission. And I really encourage everybody to check out the app and experience it, and please donate to the cause. And want to thank you for joining us on the podcast. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we
thank
go?
Thank you, Sean, for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure, and it's amazing. The last thing I wanted to say, what I was very surprised and slightly, I guess, overwhelmed with the response when I had a call out to the massive community that we are doing this pro bono project. We're not going to be able to do it on our own because we want to get it done within a couple of months. I had a very big number of companies reaching out to me and saying, we can help here, we can help here, we can help here. And I think that there is always a way to help Ukraine in a non-direct way if you're not comfortable for donations or humanitarian aid. I think working with Ukrainian companies is probably one of the ways. And also we have a beautiful, beautiful IT ecosystem within Ukraine. And there is loads of talent. So they're just, I guess, my message to everyone that if you want to support Ukraine, you can actually do it, not just by donating, but looking to hire the talent from there.
That's a great point. Just hire some folks and give them some work. And that's a great way to put it. I just want to thank you for jumping on, everybody. Check out the app. It's an honor to share it with everybody and give it some promotion. I just think it's a great cause, and like I said, it's a beautiful app. So everybody just check it out. Olga, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Sean.
So that was Olga Kravchenko from Muzimio. Do me a favor and leave a comment in the comment section. Give us some feedback. Let me know what you think about the app. We'd love to hear it. I'm sure Olga would love to hear about it as well. And if you're so inclined, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, leave us a 5-star review. Helps us get bumped up in the rankings. Give us a follow on social media. You follow us, we'll follow you. So with that said, I'm Sean Early. This is ARVR Magazine Podcast, and I'll talk to you soon. If you like this podcast, don't forget to click the subscribe button to stay up to date on all the latest episodes. This podcast has been brought to you by the Robot Spaceship Podcast Network. For more info and other great podcast series, go to robotspaceship.com and subscribe.